Alright, time for another DoNotGog.com video presentation. By an official old fart. Yeah, I officially became an old fart yesterday. A senior citizen. Anyway, it's just... ew. So, yeah, the video's gonna suck because, you know, old people. Yeah, come on. Oh, God, they're so fucking out of touch. You know, and I do feel that, frankly. I mean, I do feel totally gapped, and the world seems totally fucked like never before, and, yeah, you feel so awkward and, disconnected, and I did feel that in my youth, so it's not like I don't know what it feels like and I can't deal with it, but, I wasn't expecting it. Yeah, that's it. And I've been doing this a long time, I've been doing it my whole life, you know, fighting this us and our me and it. Yeah, it's a me and it fight. The human race, it's not even it's just some sort of, it's like, I don't know, cleaning the bathroom. It's like cleaning some kind of fungus or something. Some kind of blight. This thing called ignorance and stupidity and, you know, all this fableology, all this crap people live for. All that psychological rubbish that they don't just acknowledge as psychological rubbish. You know, it's okay to be an asshole as long as you recognize that's what you're, you know, you wasted your life doing stupid shit, you know, playing video games or whatever it is, and just admit it, you know, and say, yeah, I wasn't very good at, applying new programming to the machine, you know, and obliging it to become something better than just a wanker, you know. Not that I have anything against, like I said, you know, it's nothing against wanking. It doesn't, but, you know, it can hardly consume all of your time. I guess it's the way people do it is just so slow, you know, in that, you know, they think they need all of this stuff to go with it. This idea of somebody liking them or admiring and all this love stuff and all this other crap and, so it's this very complicated process, of love making. You know, when really, it takes 3 minutes. Done. Move on. Find something better to do with your time than, scratch your itches. Like I said, I spent most of my life being a dupe and a fool and falling for the idea that somehow if I had this or if I had that, everything would be okay. And it's just, you know, it's really stupid. And that's, you know, just, I don't know. But yeah, I can't even equate it to what's going on, you know, and it's just so... that the politics is so ugly and stupid, and this stuff people are fighting over. I can't find a way to think this is the crap the human race should be worried about. Anyway, no point in getting into that crap. So. The crap we'll get into is just this idea of recognizing your place, you know, that, okay, here we are, human beings on planet Earth in 2000 and what's left of the four. 2025 will sound better anyway. It'll look cooler. So maybe it'd be a better year. But even AI hasn't even made a dent in all of the fucktard that's out there, in terms of this, you know, trying to make it nice and clinical and well written and all that kind of crap, and it still doesn't make much of a dent in the stupidity. So, and it's just, but when you really look at it, it's, you know, you can sort of just say, okay, we're this evolved creature. Okay, we know the history pretty well, you know, most of it, for humans anyway. I suppose it'd be good if we could actually do the transition history better, you know, from minke to upright, you know, biped thingy. You know, maybe that would give people a better sense of what made the difference, and that the difference wasn't some big giant brain, that it was just this idea of being able to vocalize and, you know, create language, really. And so then we became a different machine, you know, a machine that wasn't impulse driven and driven by just emotions and ignorance. But, you know, we could tell each other stories about how, you know, I fell in quicksand and this is where it is. And her name was, you know, Juanina. So don't step there. You know, we could explain the traps and explain, you know, what our learned experience. And so people sort of did that. You can also do that with the technology. That, you know, you can make a bowl out of a rock, or you can, you know, if you take this clay stuff and heat it, you can make a bowl, and, you know, you don't have to look for a rock with a hole in it, or a dent in it. You know, it's a lot better, and, you know, all this stuff we could do to make life a little bit better, in terms of just living it, but living it impulsively, you know, without a big picture. And we know that for thousands of years, the big picture was polluted by, you know, these silly fables that everybody had to live with. You were born in a location, and everybody in that location said you had to believe this shit. And I suppose there was a lot of people who said, well, okay, I'll believe in the God, but I'm not going to believe in the Holy Ghost. Or, I'll believe there's a God, but I don't think he's vengeful, and somebody else thinks he is. And, you know, they all did their own interpretation of what that concept would have creator would be. And so they all kind of made up their own version of it, I guess. That's the only way I think that people could all believe in it, is they had to make it make more sense than the story itself, because the story on its own doesn't make much sense at all. I've been through all these, you know, you can make so many arguments about how, you know, how did the world change when, you know, Jesus died for our sins? How exactly did anything change? Oh, that's right, nothing changed. So what's the point of it? Didn't accomplish anything, didn't really make people better. It didn't improve anything. Yeah, really just didn't. So, I mean, the same rules applied. I mean, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, before you die, and everything's okay. I mean, silly crap like that, you know, just doesn't make any sense. It's okay, you can be a criminal, just say you're sorry. It's all right. Okay, all's forgiven. You know, no, not really. But obviously, punishing people after they're dead, you know, you're just saying, it'd be better if you punished them while they were still alive and everybody could watch them be punished. That would be a bigger deterrent for people. But again, then that would be a dishonest deterrent, right? Because then people are only doing the right thing because they're afraid of being punished. And, you know, theoretically, you want people to understand you do the right thing because it makes logical sense. It's efficient. And, you know, and then that's when you get into the more complex arguments of it's not a single player game. And, you know, you have to play in the world that exists. In the world that exists, the facts are you being happy isn't the whole story. And if you're happy by making somebody else sad, well, that's not going to work. That's failure. And, if it made sense to punish you for it, we would, or I would. You know, it would make sense that you get punished for that kind of grotesque failure, in the sense that, oh, come on, it wasn't that hard to figure out, you know, that other people are struggling to feel well and to, you know, live a healthy life. And if you're compromising that for your gratification, you're not doing something productive. you know, your blight, your bad, your the plague, your some kind of negative thing should be burned, you know, out of existence, and such. So that, so understanding that little bit of cultural evolution where we do all of this exchanging of ideas and, you know, kind of negotiate, I don't know, you know, argue, it would take fight, okay, for perspectives that we think are wiser. And so, yeah, that's where you can see that obviously some people are just fighting for graft and theft and their advantage. And, you know, and then there's other people clearly trying to say, yes, I get it. The rules aren't necessarily to my advantage, but the rules are defendable, that you don't drill holes in the boat. And, you know, you don't undo the screws on somebody else's chair and, you know, this kind of bullshit. Yeah. And so that's sort of the process that, you know, we've been doing this for 10,000 years or so, this cultural evolution, maybe longer, but it doesn't really matter, right? And it had these peak moments when civilizations were really trying to understand the physical universe, and they were kind of obsessed with getting all of these facts as correct as possible. And, you know, that was a pretty high priority, is to understand their place in the world by understanding how the world functions. And then that key moment is the, you know, the Darwin statement that basically made it kind of irrefutable, that the only reasonable conclusion is that, yeah, we're just bugs with a better tools, in the sense that one tool especially, which is this tool that allows us to do this years and years of being educated to understand the complexities of the map of our reality and to understand how the machine actually works. Now, you could argue that you don't really need to know algebra and all this stuff and grammar and all the crap that gets you there, right? That all you really need is a working vocabulary and then a couple of just simple understandings about gravity and, you know, a couple of mechanisms maybe. And that's more than enough to understand that we're just bugs, you know, frankly, you know, with fancier attributes. And, you know, we're not doing anything special beyond, you know, doing this replicating to make subtle little changes to the functionality, and that some of those tiny little changes, some tiny percentage of these tiny changes will somehow make the next version of the bug a little bit better at bugging. But then we know, you know, because of all this information and having detailed the map, that if we really look at the map, you know, we get closer to it, and we see the little blob over here that's green and a little square, and it's got some writing on it. If we walk in and go closer, look at it, you know, we can find out that, oh, wait a minute, yeah, we wear condoms. It's not survival of the strongest anymore. That doesn't mean much. The DNA really can't do intelligence tests. It doesn't really work, you know, in terms of knowledge. You know, there's no correlation between you're born with the knowledge. You know, it's really just about acquiring it. And the skills necessary to acquiring it are nuanced. You know, your better eyesight doesn't hurt because you probably have to do some reading. You know, different things like that. But in the future, that wouldn't mean anything, right? Because we're going to plug in maybe, you know. In terms of maybe gaining knowledge through, well, you know, while you're asleep, you could just, you know, put the little jack in your head, and you know, you wouldn't even need to, right? Because you can do the induction thing, okay? So they could put the little inductor underneath your skin, and we can just do all this communicating with your brain through these external means in this more efficient manner than actually talking words and having them go through the hard way. We can just stick the information in the file cabinet, in some other mechanism. So anyway, all of that, just to get to the point is, you know, you look at it more closely, there's, you know, this laying egg thing doesn't have any evolutionary purpose anymore, because we're all, in some way or other, the process has protected the bad genetics from paying the price, because that's a logical thing to do. There's no reason to make something suffer or be harmed or to die merely because it has some silly little genetic defect. So we have a bunch of people who are losing their natural functionality, and will need to be, you know, they'll need to have fake, you know, replacement parts, because the natural ones don't work anymore, because we've allowed technology to augment the process of, the natural process of successful reproduction. All kinds of different weird things, sperm banks, all kinds of other things that are just, you know, they bend the curves in all kinds of wrong directions. But anyway, we're not gonna evolve into a better organism. We can only think into a better organism. And better is the key word, because, yeah, you could say that genetics isn't going to make you necessarily better, because genetics isn't going to have anything to do with how much harm you caused other people, because genetics is really a very selfish construct that really just has to do with, successfully propagating the lucky, and a lot of cheaters win, especially in those key moments in human history where, there's a plague or some other thing. It's obviously the rich people and the this people that, they're the ones that get the lifeboats. And so it's a huge bias in favor of, people willing to drown their neighbors, or build their lifeboat out of their house, or however you want to metaphor it, to exploit their position. And, manufacture a victory that's fairly undeserved, let's say. It's certainly not going to be in their genetics, okay? It's not winning genetics that saved them. It's inheriting daddy's money or some other kind of bullshit. So maybe I'll pause there and see where we go. But yeah, so the whole conversation is really just about what's a realistic definition of our circumstance here. We're just, we're born into the world, become some idiot, some immature moron, or some drony Borg, do what everybody says or, okay, decides to have a kid, for some dopey reason. And they don't, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't have any skills necessarily. They haven't gone to how to make a human being school. They're just going to force you to wallow in this mush of, bullshit over here, bullshit over there, bullshit, all these bullshit stories, and to, try to find some kind of truth that isn't hideously unpleasant to hold on to. And the, and the sad truth is there really aren't. There's only, the lies are so much more comforting than the truth. And that's a real huge liability in terms of trying to get kids or basically selfish organisms to, not grab that low-hanging, cheap, rotten fruit, and to recognize that, the future needs you to grab the less pleasant reality. All right, I'll be back. All right, back. So I was just thinking about conflict and the idea of fighting for a cause or trying to defend a position. And I suppose I started doing that, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old, something like that. And back in that period, I was kind of patriotic, nationalistic, let's just say, even that. I felt a little, it felt a little bit wrong, okay, but I did like the colors red, white, and blue, and I actually did paint my bedroom, you know, blue with white stars, you know, around the perimeter, and red furniture and that kind of thing. And, but I think it's more just because I like those combination of colors. It's like the first time I bought a new car, I kind of wanted to paint it black and white. I mean, it was a white car, and it did have a black interior, but I liked black and white looked good, and it was just kind of annoying that, oh, cops already stole that look. So it just kind of pissed me off. You end up attached to things for reasons that really aren't very... they're almost silly, in terms of you like the colors rather than the actual thing. You know, it's like, I suppose you could even fall in love that way. You know, some woman wears the right color dress or something, and somehow the dress, you marry the dress, some sort of bullshit like that. So anyway, I had gotten into this idea that, yes, this is what part of life is going to be, is all these people that are in your way. So I got the idea of what politics was, and that you're in this continual fight between the, you know, us's and the thems 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 and those thems and them thems over there and the thems over there. It's not as simple as it should be. And then you get, again, you look deeper at the map of politics, and you can see that it's really these coalitions, you know, that you're fighting, you know, in the group, okay, over here that you're fighting is racist and, you know, these Christian lunatics and these greedy motherfuckers, and, you know, it's all full of different things, okay, and some a lot worse than others, you know, and then some there's you could even agree with. You know, some idea of a conservative. Well, yeah, I don't mind that. Somebody who talks about merit pay. Well, that sounds pretty damn good. law and order. Well, yeah, okay, I kind of like that. You end up, you know, it's just this kind of evil circumstance where, you know, you can almost empathize with your opposition, some part of it. And somehow, though, they have, in their group, is these assholes. And then the vice versa, the group you're in, you start analyzing it, and you see that it's got a bunch of people that don't have your motivation. You know, they're just welfare whores, and they're just this, and they're just that. And, you know, they're speeders that want to get off, and people who borrowed money, and they don't want to pay it back. And, you know, it's all this bullshit. And you're saying, well, these aren't people, you know. They're only in it to get out of being drafted in the war. You know, they're not interested in any of these other causes. You know, that kind of disappointment in, your own side. So there was a point, you know, the bedroom wore off. The idea that there was anything you could truly admire in whole of what being an American wasn't good enough to wave a flag about, and that it had too many liabilities. Everything ended up being tainted like that. And so the fight just became more individual, I guess. I would argue that it was, you can't really be, I mean, it's certainly an advantage to join the gangs when you have to, but you really don't want to wear their colors, and you don't want to be labeled one of them. Because they are too unreliable, and they have too many, not only loose cannons, but bad cannons, as part of your, you know, your army. And so I guess that's the problem with allies, in all wars. And yeah, it's just part of understanding the territory and recognizing that this is going to be what life is this perpetual arguing. So I've always been, since I was very young, a believer, okay, the story of evolution. As soon as I heard it, I said, brilliant. Yes, of course, that's how it must work. Makes perfectly good sense. So it was always a fight with this, the evolution opposers, because they all opposed it for one reason, because they preferred this silly God fable, and they can't have both. The God fables, that the stories they've accepted don't have evolution in them. They have creation, and we were designed on purpose, and we're assholes because God wanted us to be assholes, and some kind of crap like that. Not the more simple explanation that we're buggy creatures, and so we are nepotistic. We do care for our own more than we care for somebody else's, and all of that kind of stuff. And all of that kind of stuff, again, is so easily, once you understand it, it's not like you are going to feel any different, but you can certainly behave differently. And especially in the easy circumstance. The hard circumstances, yeah, car's heading for three kids, and one of them happens to be yours. Which one do you save? I mean, are you going to be fair, and save the one who seems the healthiest, or seems like they're going to be, they have the most potential to succeed? They're going to win the yearbook prize of being voted the most likely to succeed, or are you just going to grab your kid? And obviously, those quick, impulsive type style. Push comes to shoves, you can't do the right thing. But in other circumstances where you can really think about it and say, what's the right thing, and blah blah blah, and you can slowly pull the lever, for the right policy. Even though it doesn't do you too much good, it's the fairer policy, that kind of thing. So, and that's what you're kind of hoping to encourage in each other, is to rise above your bug, and rise above your nature. And we can, like I said, to some extent, we have the power to do that. And we should encourage it in each other wherever possible, is to, do the little extra bit of thinking and recognize that the world's not about you or your kids. It's not about their advantage, and it's certainly not about them cheating. Okay, so if you've set it up so your kid has an advantage, you got to know, well, that is, I'm not going to put brass knuckles inside my kid's boxing gloves. I know that's, so it just depends on how grotesque the cheat is, whether you buy your kid better sneakers than any other kid has, or whether you're actually, putting nails in the boxing glove. And so you can certainly tell the difference between the hard cheats and the soft cheats. But the very fact that that's how we function should be another one of these little strikes against the whole project. In the sense that, all of this time we have to spend on this planet trying to be a person, all this education, all this work, for what? To grow old and die and lose everything and waste it all, and it's all gone. So you learn all these life lessons, you gain all this perspective, you become kind of skilled at hopping the alligator heads, and as soon as you start getting pretty good at it, they shoot you, And so what? What's the point? Or else, life degrades you, and even though you know how to do it better, you physically can't do it better anymore. You're doomed to be crocodile food, because even though you know the right strategy and you know what heads to jump on, your feeble, deteriorated body won't even allow your brain to do its best. And then your whole brain can just go too, and it's just, it's all, oh. So I did think about that this week. I was thinking about all the, you know, the horror I have seen and heard about it, say, and, oh, yeah, just you squint and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, we have to keep doing this? This horrible death thing, we have to keep doing this over and over and over and over again? God damn it. I mean, it's just, come on. And then people send you pictures of babies. Oh, look at my new granddaughter. Blah, 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 blah. Or something, and you're like, oh, fuck, come on. What? You think you had all that much fun? Come on. Come on. What kind of shit are you pulling? No, you're just an addict. Why would you give your addiction to some other thing and force it to chase some bullshit? And you know it's going to be bullshit. You know, and then you see it. You see it in the world, what people are chasing. And it's just amazing. You know, some, you know, it's like, I don't want to, you know, there's a certain mockable funniness, but it's not, you know, it's not, that's another thing we should be able to, you know, figure out, you know, in terms of taking advantage and cheating, is the idea of using mockery and different kinds of weapons that are not very valid. But, you know, the idea of men who've spent their whole life, you know, wishing they had big giant breasts and, you know, some kind of, you know, and all that stuff. And again, to me, okay, I can't really get it. It's like somebody wanting a monster truck, you know, and it's just their life dream to climb into their monster truck. So I could come up with a ton of other people's ambitions and just say, God damn, you know, they're going to get cancer and die for that. Oh, shit. You know, and this is the big, this was the great fun in life, was chasing the dream, this dream. And you're like, yeah, I don't get that. So, yeah, I don't, it's hard to see it as anything more than just this, you know, the fact that you're just built to be ambitious. You know, that's the competition thing. We're built to be competitive organisms, and there's just this subtle energy to invest in some idea, okay, that fixing something will fix it, that it will be fixed by fixing something. And, you know, all these little things we think are big things don't fix anything, and then you're still stuck with, you know, a sense of incompleteness, you know, even though you've got what you wanted. And I said, like, you know, sort of said before, and you get what you want, and then you start worrying about a whole new set of problems. You know, your shiny car isn't as shiny as it should be, you know. And, you know, then your day is ruined. You know, some kind of bullshit. So, you know, yeah, it's just, there's no reason to, for people to invest in that. But again, the people really aren't investing in it. Okay, so if you had to wait until you were 65 years old to have kids, probably, okay, the birth rate would be pretty damn minimal. I mean, even if you made it really easy to have them. Yeah, I just, I say that, but then you see these people with this desire, okay, to babysit or hang around babies, and I can't figure that out at all. So it's like washing pots. I can't think of a menial, crappy job, you know, worse than baby maintenance. But anyway, that's me. Yeah, you know, I don't get it. I can see playing with a puppy or a kitten, but I just can't see playing with a baby. It just doesn't work very well. It doesn't do anything but like poo and vomit. And turn blue. Yeah, right, back. So I was just pondering, okay, the idea of fighting this, fighting stuff. And so that's been, you know, my preoccupation. So instead of having some decided direction in life in terms of I'm going to acquire something and get something and be somewhere, I was more just fighting a lot of battles wherever they turned up. And sometimes in, you know, just kind of personal ways, because something happens to you, like this whole cigarette thing, I got caught up in fighting just because I saw it as so obviously unconstitutional to tax a minority vice. I mean, you know, again, if you look deeper into the map of a justice system, you can recognize that this is one of the biggest failures your system of justice can have, is that, you know, the majority has all of the clout and they exploit all the minority opinions. That's the failure of democracy, is that it becomes a majoritarian society that doesn't provide any protections or rights to people who are not inclined, you know, to be one of them, but aren't doing anything that the them has any right to be bothered with, in this sense. So obviously they were just taxing a convenient minority that had no political power, and therefore they were a perfect place to steal money, and that's all it was about. And I still argue that's all it was about. Okay, none of these people really give a shit about people's actual welfare, and if they did, then they would tell fat people to get thin, and they do a lot of other things that would be a lot more productive in terms of keeping people from dying prematurely. All right. I mean, obviously, you could argue cigarette smokers are not killing anybody except themselves, and they're killing themselves when, generally speaking, they're not going to be in their prime. Yeah, so the years they're losing are the actual, you know, less than spectacular years. All right, but that's, you know, I'm just saying, so that was a cause. And, you know, it was just one little tiny piece of all the causes and all the things. And again, that one was just because it happened to fall into my lap, in terms of it happened to me personally. And it was onerous for poor people. That was the other part of it that I found so offensive, is this tax had nothing to do with means testing or, you know, proportionally affecting or punishing people. It was clearly a gigantic punishment for poor people, you know, who just can't afford to pay $10 a day to smoke cigarettes. Anyway, so yes, the cause of stopping people from smoking, you know, protecting kids, that cause can be protected by just making the laws against initiating or giving a kid a cigarette onerous, and you've solved that problem. You know, so you can prevent future addicts, and the addicts will vote for that. You know, there's no, you know, I don't have any, I'm not defending the fact that when I was, you know, 10 years old, I made a bad decision, you know, because, yeah, that's what it was, a stupid, I dare you kind of circumstance, and, frankly, you know, it was one of those strange things where it was actually a reversal of the proper gateway drug kind of thing, because it was really, smoking was about smoking pot. So, you know, the idea is if you smoke cigarettes, then it's a lot easier to, you know, ingest your marijuana. And back then it mattered just because marijuana was pretty harsh. So that was one of the circumstantial reasons why smoking even came up as an idea, you know, as a bad idea, was that I was already smoking pot now and then. So anyway, that was, you know, yeah. So, yeah, it is kind of a funny irony. But anyway, so what was it? Okay, so yeah, this is, it's been my whole life is this thing, and it's sort of a project, okay, you could say, when you realize that you live in a world full of lunatics who believe in a fable, about this God crap and all this shit, and you're just like, gee, that's so catastrophically stupid, in terms of understanding how the thing really works, and you're not going to heaven, and none of this crap is going to happen. You have to live for the now. We have to fix the world now. Can't be sitting around waiting for God to do it. So that was certainly a motivation for me to be hostile towards the religious kooks, is because they were essentially saying we don't have to fix the world, and we don't have to work on our civilization, because somehow God's taking care of all this justice crap. And obviously, I was, he isn't. If we want a better world, we got to make it. And I became quite hostile towards religion. And again, it was more this cheating kind of stuff that was so bothersome, too. I found it so offensive, all their concern for the fetus and their lack of concern for the, food they eat, the pig and the cows and all the other sheep and all the other stuff that they, brutalize and butcher. And then they're going to pretend that there's something sacred about an unformed, undeveloped human being. And yet they'll inject a chimpanzee with cancer. Makes no sense. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with fair or, it's just so, hate to say dishonest, but I mean, it's just so dishonest to pretend that somehow this fetus has these magical properties that entitle it to some kind of, preservation. And these other organisms are somehow blighted by some defect that makes them unworthy of any concern at all. So I definitely became motivated by that whole animal rights kind of ideology, and certainly that is in pretty hard conflict with the standard majority opinion, So again, you're fighting the Goliath of this gigantic stupidity that's really focused on the idiocy of religion. And then there's so many of these religious people who say, well, it's a harmless, the religion. It doesn't do... And no, it's not harmless, because it does create all of these rationalizations and excuses, for all kinds of unfairness and inefficient and stupid and wasteful and even evil crap. All right, and so that's where I've been, and so and that's, it's in the last 20 years of that existence of, trying to fight stupid, it would be how I'm looking at it. I mean, it's not much different. It's not much else other than just fighting what are pretty stupid ideas, And now currently I'm arguing physics, and it's full of really stupid ideas, no evidence. They just cling to this crap because, this wooey shit, and they pretend that it's, going to be some wonderful wormhole future, and it's all this. It's just mush. And it's again probably just another way of distracting attention, from all the stuff that needs to get done. We don't need to make a black hole detector. we need to make an asshole detector. There's all kinds of ways of arguing, and so that's my point, is that I just focused on, so all you really have to do with people is argue with them. And I have to say, frankly, it's never worked, right? I mean, the tiny number of people that I've won the argument with, because it always takes more time than they're willing to invest. I mean, I could say I converted a preacher once, which I felt kind of good about, you know, a minister, you know, and it was kind of funny. He was supposed to be giving me therapy, and the roles completely reversed, you know, in the sense that, you know, obviously he found, I'm supposed to cheer you up, and he knew inside that there's nothing to get cheered up about. And the more I hit him with, you know, the brutal realities, you know, the more he, you know, recognized that, yeah, this is just a placebo, you know, this fable. And it's just an excuse to evade taking responsibility for what we are, bugs, and, you know, trying to elevate our condition. But in the end, the condition sucks. Egg-laying, reproducing, murderous shit. Why make more of that? Blight, you know, snapping turtle. I mean, you know, interesting, fascinating, you know, mechanically, you know, you have to admire it. The lion, you know, you have to admire it. You have to say, yeah, okay, it's just a magnificent construction. But there's no function here. You know, this is not a reasonable existence. You know, consumption and egg laying. You know, sacrificing thousands so you can, you know, give a tiny percentage some sort of elevated existence, where they get the privilege of pregnancy, you know, and the blight of child rearing. Yeah, sorry. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a winner in that world. And so everything's a loser. The losers are certain losers. I mean, getting killed before your time, you know, before you even get a chance, you know, to chase the babes and such, sucks. Okay, but successfully accomplishing that mush isn't anything either. So it really is just about the addiction. You're in the game, and I don't want to leave the game, right? You don't want to turn the game off. It's dinner time. Ah, fuck it. I'll eat later. I'm playing the game, you know. So, and that's all it really is this attachment to this visceral in the game. I'm in the game. And it's hard to separate yourself from the game. And it's all psychology, you know. And that's all it's driving, this stupid engine. So it isn't about, you know, a logical argument that doesn't get to the psychological argument. I mean, you really can't understand the map at all if it's in the wrong language. And the language of the map has got to be constantly pointing out how you're cheating your perception, your eyes don't work quite right, and you have to constantly, you know, remember to flip up those rose-colored glasses and, you know, read what it actually says. I don't know the exact, that's sort of a mixed metaphor, as they say. So, but yes, we're cheating, you know, we're blurring it, you know, we're squinting where to our advantage in trying to cheat our way into some rationalization or excuse that we're living good lives when we're just bugging. And we're doing it badly because we have all of these capacities to reason and do logic and minimize the chaos and the waste. And you can see in the world, it's not going to happen. I mean, just little things. I mean, the fact that in 2011 we saw all this, we saw the catastrophe of what happens when you let people buy houses with $4.58 as a down payment. And, you know, we're just walking right into it again. The government guaranteeing a bunch of loans that if housing prices go down, there's going to be a bunch of banks stuck with properties they can't sell for anything close to what they loaned the money. And it's going to be a huge, giant catastrophe because there's no, you know, There's no way to. They've already stolen the money from all the places you can steal it. So, you know, there's going to have to be somebody really. You're going to need a good captain of the boat, okay? When, you know, because you're going to have to bail just the right way to keep the thing afloat. You know, and there's no sign that that's going to happen. So, anyway. Yeah, so I'll be back. I just hit the button, right? Yeah, I can do that. Alright, so the point I was sort of heading for is that, yes, I've been doing this a long time, fighting, and frankly, not doing it very effectively. So, yeah, I have had a few victories, but they're very minor, and, you know, they're very, there's do and do not do, there's no try kind of thing that, you know, trying and, you know, it's the horseshoes or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got to, I can come up with a better, there's either you hit the pins or you don't hit the pins. Let's see, there's got to be something, there's some example. Okay, like shooting and hitting, you know, being close to the little clay pigeon, you know, doesn't break the clay pigeon kind of thing. Yeah, so it's, you know, nothing new in the sense that, okay, I'm still making videos and yeah, I'm still failing. And you know, and that's disappointing. But that's also made out of a lot of, you know, this circumstantial way you fight and all that kind of stuff, and the fact that you do need to make allies and all of this crap, and you have to say things that people want to hear, and there aren't going to be too many people that want to, you can't, like I said, you sort of do have to just sort of gradually, you know, remove the blinders. You can't just, you know, it's like walking into the sunlight from a dark place, or probably more relevant, walking from, you know, the sunlight into a dark place, and you can't see, you know. And so, you know, people have to be, you know, you have to kind of close the curtains gradually. Yeah, that's, you know, I haven't found a way to do that, and maybe it's not part of my, it's not a skill I have naturally or something. I suppose part of it is this engineering it and being, thinking it has to be something other than some kind of, you know, you just let your brain manufacture the circumstantial argument, and that's, you know, this requires something more precise than that, something more, I could even say scientific, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not being conscientious enough to attempt that. I just want to get to it, so yeah, I guess that's part of it. I don't know. It's like all the little nuisances of war, I guess, you know, shining your shoes and doing all this other crap when you're really supposed to just run across a field and shoot somebody. And you're saying, well, can't we just get it done already? Do I have to go through all this marchy crap and all this other bullshit to get there? You know, and so I'm too impatient or something like that. But the system is also not very compatible. I mean, I have had YouTube, you know, obstruct, create obstacles that didn't need to exist. The you know, deleting my channels and all of that kind of crap, which didn't help any. But yeah, it's part of it is that there's, it's very hard to make this argument to all the people you have to get to, and it's so easy to, there's so many people who are, you know, they have half, they can understand half the story, but they can't understand the other half, so it's like every other page of the book, you got to rip it out, and, you know, it's, that seems quite dishonest, too. So, I mean, you make videos about something, you know, subjects where I think it's a slam dunk, have probably done me more damage, like talking about inheritance, because people really just don't want to hear that for whatever reason. I mean, I don't understand it. Even if you inherit, I don't understand why you would think oh yeah, if I was going to make a world, that's how I would make it, where you know people don't have to earn it, and you're going to have like a horse race, and some horses, just because their ancestor got lucky and won a race, that all of a sudden they get head starts for, you know, in perpetuity. It's a ridiculous idea. I mean, it's anti-evolution. It's anti-anything. You know, it's can't possibly be the way you decide how to apportion encouragement. It's not how you invest in a society. That's not how you invest the money. You certainly don't send those people to college so they can have college educations and never use them. Why would you do that? And never need to use them, because you know they can just go play golf. It's silly to apportion either the rewards or the punishments. The desperation, the struggle, the pain, it all should be allocated, rationally, where it'll do the most good, you know. And so it's just such an obvious failure of capitalism. Like I said, it was my only argument against the idea of invisible hands and libertarian ideals and all of that kind of stuff. Well, it all falls apart if you don't fix this inheritance thing, because that destroys all of the earned part. And you just end up with kings and nobles, a bunch of elitists who control everything, and we know it's not because they have better genetics. So we know it doesn't work that way. It's not inherited. Okay, the power to acquire wealth is not an inherited trait, and we know that the skills needed to acquire wealth don't necessarily have a damn thing to do with how conscientious or good or any of that shit you are. So you can think of all the people who did succeed, like maybe the Wright brothers, or the guy who invented the blue LED. Well, what if he didn't? What if he was 1 week short? He quit 1 week before he would have discovered it. Was he a bad person? No, he was still a great person. And we just won't know it, you know. So it's just so obvious that we're in this race. It's clearly idiotic to sit there and just arbitrarily select some people out and say we're going to give them huge head starts and pretend it's a fair fight, and that we have a merit system, where we're going to encourage. And no, you're going to just deflate and defeat anybody who can see the cheat and see the horses with the head start. Those horses aren't going to bother working very hard because they know they're fucked. So it's going to be completely corrosive, to the kind of civilization you want to make, a good one, where people are constantly encouraged to do better. So even those conversations about rewarding citizens and punishing citizens for good and bad acts. So that idea that you could just say you're going to get a certain amount of money when you're 18 years old, and if you don't fuck up, you'll get it. And then you're going to get a certain amount of money when you're 40, and if you don't have a fucked up record, you get the money. This is all ways that you can engineer better performance out of people. More obedience to some ordered system of decent, fair, reasonable, non-cheaty behavior. That kind of thing. So anyway, all of those conversations people really hated. it's just ironic. The nihilist camp is stronger than I ever would imagine it possible. That sort of became clear with the popularity of people like The Amazing Atheist, who, really didn't say anything except, I'm a big, giant, selfish, scheming, conniving cunt and proud. And you're just saying, why the fuck do people admire this character? But some of that might just be watching Trainwreck, too. Who the hell knows? It does seem that people do not realize that, you know, if you're watching assholes, then you're encouraging assholes. It's just the fact. Especially assholes with commercials on their videos anyway. So, you know, the way the world is just pathetically under constructed, and humans are pathetically ignorant of the game they're really playing, and those are the simple truths. And it's also a truth that I have failed, okay, to win an argument that should have been really easy to win. So, my bad. But till next time, as I'm still here, and I'll continue to do what I do, so we'll see. Maybe I'll get better at it. Who knows? It's possible. Maybe the old dog can learn a new trick. Doesn't seem very probable, though. But we'll see. Who knows? Yeah. All right, so, enough of video. Till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.